When we're not encouraged, we're discouraged. And it's easy to get there and it's easy to stay there. And sometimes that comes when we find our challenge in front of us that we're not sure we're going to be able to face, whether if that's Joshua taking over for Moses. And sometimes it comes on the heels of our failures, when we've just fallen flat on our face and we have failed. And here's the key, is that God knows that if we remain discouraged in our failures and in our challenges, that it will devastate us and keep us from moving forward with Him. And you might be there tonight. You might have a challenge in front of you that's huge.
Hey friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Reuben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life.
How many of you know what your spiritual gifts are? How many of you know, if you know what your spiritual gifts are, raise your hand, or your spiritual gift is, okay? On the count of three, if you know what your spiritual gift is, I want you to yell it out loud, okay? On the count of three. One, two, three. Okay, good. Yeah, you know, a spiritual gift is a gift that's given to you by the Holy Spirit, to enhance and to assist and to bless the church. And it's given to you when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When you become a follower of Jesus, you get one. You get at least one. And the Holy Spirit personally picks it out for you. He picks out certain gifts that He knows will be right for you based on your personality. And then you take that gift and you use it in the church to bless the church and to together with everyone else and their gifts. And we don't all have the same spiritual gifts. You bless His church. Now you're going to find a list of all these different spiritual gifts in the Bible. There's some verses that you can see on the screen that you can check out at your own leisure, but these are places where you'll find lists of all those different spiritual gifts. You'll find them in the book of Romans. You'll find them in the book of 1 Corinthians, also in Ephesians and 1 Peter, and even Exodus way back there in the Old Testament. So I want to encourage you, if you've become a follower of Jesus, you may not know it yet, but you have a spiritual gift. And that's pretty cool. God's designed something specifically for you. In that passage in Romans, it says that this spiritual gift comes from His grace. It's a gift that He's given to you. And in that passage in 1 Corinthians is where it tells us that it's the Holy Spirit that distributes that spiritual gift to you. Now, here's the deal though. I'm not here to talk about spiritual gifts tonight. But what I am here to do is to use my spiritual gift to bless you. That's my hope. That's my prayer this evening, is that I would use my spiritual gift to bless His church, to bless you tonight, and for God to use that for His glory. So I want to share with you tonight some encouraging truths, because my spiritual gift is the gift of encouragement. One of my key spiritual gifts that God has given me is the gift of encouragement. I just can't help myself. I find myself always trying to encourage folks. And I'm one of those people that holds out all hope for anyone and everyone. And I like that. I like that about me. I like that God's done that work in me. Now, it's not something that has always been a part of my life. I used to be a totally different person, but who here knows tonight that when Jesus gets a hold of your life, He changes you and He transforms you, and who you used to be is not who you are, right? Amen? And so tonight, I praise the Lord that He has given me this gift of encouragement, and this evening, I'm here to encourage you with some amazing truths from God's Word. Now, to be an encourager is not just to be complimentary, oh, you look so nice tonight, or it's not just to be positive, you can do it, or just a cheerleader in someone's life. That is part of it. But to be an encourager is to point out the truths of Scripture and to help people to understand and to apply and celebrate those truths in their lives as well. It's not just about me giving compliments. It's about me helping folks be encouraged by the Word of God. So, you ready to be encouraged?
Yes.
Let's do this. I want to start in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. It's going to be a foundational passage or a couple verses for us this evening. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 24. And I want to read that to you this evening and just share from that to begin. And we'll go through a few various passages, but this is kind of foundational for us this evening. So let me read those two verses, verses 23 and 24. Let us hold unswervingly, this is from the New International Version, unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. A key thing to catch in that passage of scripture as we think about God's word this evening is that it tells us that he who promised all these things we're going to be looking at tonight, he who promised all of this is faithful. He promised it, he can do it, and he will do it, and he's ready to do it. Now I want to read it to you from the Message. This is how the Message says it. So let's do it. Let's do it full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. He always keeps his words. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Let's see how inventive we can be. I like that. Well, the first thing I want to do tonight is I just want to share with you seven unwavering, loud truths that probably you've heard before. So I'm going to go through these a little bit quickly, and then we're going to deal with some other more subtle kinds of truths and things I hope will be encouraging to you tonight. But I want to share these first seven with you to kind of set the stage. Seven loud, unwavering truths. And the first one is that God loves you. God loves you. Would you just turn to somebody and say, God loves you? It's easy to say. God loves you. Yeah. I don't know if you need to hear that tonight, but I do know that it's true. And God loves you. And I hope you know that more than just the words, God loves you. I hope you know it as a relationship in which God's been proving that over and over and over again in your life. But the first thing I want you to know, the first loud, encouraging truth, unwavering truth tonight is that God loves you. The second is that God created you in his image. And that means that you have value. That means that you are important. That means when God looks at you, he looks at something that he considers more precious than rubies. He sees you and he loves you and he values you. And that leads to the third truth, and that is the fact that God sent his son to save you. Because God loves you so much, and because you have such great value, having been created in his image, he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, so that you could be saved, so that you could know God, have a relationship with God, be saved and brought into relationship with him through Jesus Christ. I hope everyone in the room tonight has realized that, but if you haven't, I want you to hear it loud and clear. God sent his son Jesus Christ for you. And he sent his son Jesus Christ for you because he loves you and he values you. You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son that whoever, and you're part of the whoever. Amen? You're part of the whoever. If you do know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that leads to the fourth thing, and that is God has forgiven you. Praise the Lord. I don't know where you've been in your life. I know where I've been, and I needed a whole lot of forgiveness, and I still do. And I give God the praise that tonight he has forgiven me. He has forgiven me of all of my sins. He's forgiven me of the things that nobody knew about, and he's forgiven me of the things that lots of people knew about. He has forgiven me of my sins. I hope that's encouraging to you tonight. Remember that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been forgiven. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, the good news this evening is that you can be forgiven. And that is such good news. The next is this, that God has made you into a new creation and the old is gone. The old is gone. You are a new creation this evening, and the old is gone. That doesn't mean that the old doesn't try to hang out, you know, try to kind of creep back in sometimes. And sometimes it takes away. You have to keep showing the old you the door, you know. But God has created you as a new creation. You are a new creation with new promise and new hope. There's transformational work happening in your life. You're not who you used to be, if you've experienced that wonderful gift of forgiveness. And some of you might just be getting started on the journey. Some of you might have been on the journey for a while. You know either way that it's a lifelong journey. But the good news is that God is consistently and consistently, did I say that right? God is consistently and intentionally, there we go, working in your life to make you more like Jesus. That's good news, and that is encouraging news. Two more. God sent his Holy Spirit to live in you. A loud, unwavering truth tonight is that God sent his Holy Spirit to live in you. He loved you. He values you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to save you. He has forgiven you. He's made you into a new creation. The old is gone. Behold the new, like the scripture says. And he sent his Holy Spirit to live in you. Praise the Lord. Tonight, the Holy Spirit lives in you if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. That's pretty incredible. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty amazing that the Holy Spirit lives in you. And then lastly is that God created you with purpose. So he's done all those things that I mentioned, the six before that, and he has created you with purpose. He's created you with good works in mind, that he wants to work in you and through you, that he wants to utilize and work in a way that blesses others, but also blesses you over and over and over again. He has created you with purpose, the purpose to glorify him, to know him, to keep growing in him. God's created you for purpose tonight, and I hope that you know that, because sometimes life just seems to kind of continue to take these unwavering loud truths and just kind of mix them all up or cause us to forget them. But tonight I want to remind you of these seven things first and foremost. But then I also want to share with you this evening seven other truths that you need to never forget. And these are more subtle. These are more subtle. These are truths that maybe we don't shout from the rooftop as much as those first seven, but they're just as true and just as important in each of our lives. And I want to share with you these seven truths tonight, and I'm going to take them one at a time and just key in on them. And I hope you go away from here tonight encouraged, knowing that this is the truth of God's word. It's not just my opinion tonight. The things I just shared with you, the things I'm about to share with you, it's not my opinion. It is my experience, but it's not my opinion. It's the word of God. It is the word of God, and God's word stands tonight over and over again, and he is faithful to complete it. I want to take you to Psalm chapter 139 for the first two tonight. Psalm chapter 139, and some of you may be familiar with this passage of scripture, but the first thing I want you to know is that somebody sees you. God sees you. It's incredible to think that the God of the universe who created all of this, and the more we look out there at the universe, the bigger we find it, and there's all these galaxies and all of these planets and all these various things, and then to think that God sees you, but he does. He sees you. He sees you. And I wanted you to hear from Psalm 139 this evening. This is what it says in verses 1 through 3. It says that you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. That's how intimately God knows you. That's how intimately God sees you. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you lie down to take a nap. He knows when you're headed out and when you're going, where you're going. He sees everything about you. Verses 7 through 12 continues this thought, and it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast." Verse 13 and 12 and 13 go on to say, 11, 12, and 13, "If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, and the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." No matter where you go, God sees you. And even no matter how dark it gets where you go. And some of you in the room tonight, somebody here might be in a very dark place. But I want you to know tonight that God sees you. That darkness doesn't hide you from God. He sees you. And remember all those other things that I mentioned earlier, that God loves you, that he has sent his son for you. God sees you, no matter where you are tonight, even if it's in a very dark place. And I praise the Lord for that. Because I've been in some dark places. And sometimes we can get into some dark places even when we're followers of Jesus. Dark places where we just feel confused, where we feel lost, where we're not sure. And I am so grateful this evening that God sees me. You know, Jesus, he continued this, or even showed this in his life over and over and over again. One of my favorite stories is the story of this crippled lady. She had been crippled for 18 years in Luke chapter 13. I don't know if you have read that story, but in Luke chapter 13, it's the story of Jesus, and he's in the temple and he's teaching, and all these religious leaders and everybody are sitting around there listening to Jesus. It's the Sabbath, and he's talking to them, and it says that there's this little old lady who's been in the temple for 13 years. She's had this issue of being bent over double. And so she just kind of walks around the temple like this. Her only perspective in life is basically the floor. And she's been walking around the temple like that for so long that nobody even notices her. But while Jesus is teaching to this important crowd, he sees her. That's exactly what the scripture says. It gives this description of the lady, and then it says, "And Jesus saw her. And then he went to her and he touched her and he healed her." And the religious leaders all freaked out because it was a Sabbath. "You can't do that on the Sabbath." Jesus said, "Well, you watch." Well, God and Jesus sees you. And I hope you know that tonight. Because sometimes we can feel like we've kind of gotten lost and nobody even notices, like that little old lady walking around the back of the temple. But the fact of the matter is, no matter how many important things God has going on, he still sees you. He sees you tonight. Praise the Lord. God sees you. The second truth is this, of the list of these seven subtle truths, is that someone is also thinking about you, and that someone is God. Not only does he see you, but he thinks about you. Can you just imagine that for a minute, that God thinks about you? I don't know about you, but my life is pretty insignificant in my opinion. And, but God actually thinks about me. He thinks about me. And continuing in Psalm 139, going down to verses 17 through 18, the psalmist actually says this: "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How precious to me are your thoughts. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." And so I want you to know tonight that not only does God see you, but God is also thinking about you. You occupy his mind. You occupy his thoughts. And they're good thoughts. They're loving thoughts. They're thoughts of the things that he hopes that you will know about him, and the things that he hopes that you realize about yourself because of how much he loves you and how valuable you are to him. God sees you, and not only that, but God thinks about you. The third of these seven subtle truths is this: that someone is actually talking about you and praying for you. Someone is actually talking about you and praying for you. Romans chapter 8 is where I want to just share with you a little bit about this tonight. In Romans chapter 8, we find this passage of scripture that talks about how Jesus and the Holy Spirit are talking about you with God and also praying for you. Praying for you on a regular basis. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. There's this great chapter of Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 34, it says this. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. So tonight, I don't know if you know, I mean, maybe there's some people in your life that pray for you on a regular basis. That's awesome. Maybe your spouse, maybe your parent, maybe a good friend. And as important and incredible as that is, and it's a blessing that those folks are praying for you, Jesus Christ also is praying for you, interceding for you to the Father. That's amazing. And so whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, know that Jesus brings that before the Lord. And the scripture teaches that not only does Jesus do this, but the Holy Spirit does this as well. In verses 26 and 27, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us, sometimes through wordless groans," it says. And so this evening, Jesus is praying for you and talking about you, and the Holy Spirit is praying for you and talking about you. I need Jesus to be praying for me. I need the Holy Spirit to be praying for me. There's some things in my life that I let people know about that I would like for them to pray for, okay? But there's also some things in my life I don't tell anybody because it's too hard. And whether that's right or wrong, the good news this morning is, or this evening is this. I'm used to preaching in the morning, sorry. I might do that a few more times. The good news this evening is that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are praying for me. Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32, Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my heavenly Father in heaven." So as we follow Jesus, he's talking to his Father about you. He's like, "Hey, have you seen what's going on in Keith's life, man?" You know, sometimes he's like, he's really doing good. He's walking in with you, Lord, and doing devotions and spending time in prayer. And sometimes he's like, "Man, it's getting rough down there for Keith. Have you noticed? Let's give him a little bit of help. Lord, could you help him? Father, could you help him?" Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The next truth this evening, the subtle truth that I want you to get a hold of, number four, is that there's someone who is working all things together for your good. Wow. That means even the yucky stuff. Okay, that means even the ugly things. That somehow God, in his sovereignty and in his wisdom and in his goodness, is working all things together for your good. Even the stuff that you haven't been able to piece together how this is going to get where, you know, or how this is all going to work out, God's working it all together for your good. Even the things that the enemy intends for evil, God is working together for your good. And it's hard to understand that sometimes because all we can see is what's in front of us and we think, man, everything is just a mess. This is one of those things that you see better on the other side of, right? And you go, oh, I see how God put that together. I see how that conversation worked and all this. I see what God was up to here. I see why this happened. Sometimes it takes a few months afterwards. Sometimes it takes years. As you continue to be faithful and walk with the Lord, you look back and go, wow, wow. That's what God was doing. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much. You're probably somewhat familiar with this passage, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, praise God, that God works for the good of those who love him. Well, we've already established that he loves you, right? You got that one? We even said it to each other. We've already established it. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that that God, the God who loves you, is also working all things together for your good, for the good of those who love him. That's good stuff. Next, number 5 is this. Someone is hoping for you. Thank goodness. Someone's hoping for you. It's kind of like that great cloud of witnesses. They're cheering you on, you know. Come on, you got this. And someone, the Word of God is clear, is hoping for you. And I want you to know tonight that that someone is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That they are hoping for you over and over and over again. Listen to Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says, may the God of hope. You see, God is the God of hope. He can't help but hope for you. He is the source of your hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's for you. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're for you. And this evening, there's someone who is hoping for you. Going back to the previous things we talked about, one of the best ways we hope for people is by praying for them. When we pray for someone, we're hoping for them, right? And if we know that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are praying for us, it's because they're hoping for us. They are hoping that we realize how amazing God is and how much he loves us. In Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34, and I'm not going to read it, so you can check it out later if you want, but it's the story of Jesus telling Peter that he's about to get sifted by the enemy. And he says to Peter, Peter, I want you to know that I'm praying for you because you're about to be sifted by the enemy. And then Peter says, this is my own paraphrase, oh, don't worry about this, Lord, I got it, right? Peter, he always says things like that. But then the Lord Jesus Christ says to him, Peter, I want you to know something. Before the rooster crows, you will have denied me 3 times. So here's the crazy thing. See if you can get a hold of this. Even though Jesus knew Peter was going to fail, he was praying and hoping for him. Even though Jesus knew Peter was going to fail, he was praying and hoping for him. Wow. God knows that you're not going to bat 1,000, okay? But yet he is praying and hoping for you. He says, you know, in there, and when you return, that you will strengthen the brothers. That's what happens when we go through things like that. And we experience the love of God and the grace of God and the way that God can continue to rebuild us and build us. We then can encourage others who are on that same journey, maybe a little bit further behind than we are. And they're like, oh, man, I blew it. And we say, yeah, you know what, though? God knew you were going to blow it. And he's still hoping and praying for you. Let's get back to following him. Let's get back to following him. Number 6 is this, that someone is preparing a place for you. Jesus told his disciples, I am going to prepare a place for you in John chapter 14. And if I go to prepare that place for you, I'm gonna take you there one day. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 weeks ago, I lost my mother-in-law, my wife's mom, and she was like the super grandma, super mother-in-law. She loved Jesus with all of her heart. And, you know, everything that she had kind of hoped for, she is now realizing. Everything that was an encouragement for her and a strengthening for her, the promises that we're talking about in this particular promise, is now reality for her in such a beautiful way. Someone has prepared a place for you, and that someone is Jesus. Is this resonating? Yeah, I hope so. This is good stuff. The last one I want to spend a little more time on because I think this is really key. The last one, number 7, is this. Someone is with you. Someone is with you. One of my life verses, I have a couple of different life verses. You could call them my favorite verses, but one of my life verses is Joshua 1:9. And it might be a familiar verse to you, but it says in Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Wow. In the book of Joshua, the Lord repeats that to him 3 different times. The very word for word, he says that. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." The first time right here in Joshua 1:9 is when Joshua is about to take over everything for Moses. Moses has died, and now Joshua's in charge. And it's like everybody's looking at Joshua now. Okay, you're the leader. What are we going to do now? And the Lord says, "Hey, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. I'm with you. I'm with you." So when that challenge comes, Joshua is reminded that the Lord is with him. The second time is kind of interesting. It's right after they've been defeated by this little bitty town called Ai. They had just gone up against this big city called Jericho. You might have heard the story. They marched around it 7 times, right? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Okay, I don't know if you know that or not, but anyway. And they marched around that 7 times, and then they blew all the trumpets, and the walls came tumbling down, right? Well, they leave there, and the next place on the journey is this little town called Ai. And they're so confident that they're just going to, this is not a big deal. They decide that they're just going to send like 2,000 to 3,000 guys there. You know, they're like, "Hey, this is just a small little town. We'll just send 2,000 to 3,000 guys there. We'll go over there and take care of it and be done with it." And they end up getting defeated. In fact, the Bible says that the men of Ai chased the Israelites away. Embarrassing. Complete failure. Now, it would come out later that the reason that they lost is because there was hidden sin in the camp, in the people of Israel. Somebody had done something they shouldn't have done. They had taken some of the possessions of Jericho, hidden it under their tent. You ever heard that story? And the Lord was not pleased. And so what should have been an easy victory turned out to be a defeat. And in the midst of that, the people are rattled. They're like, "Oh man, we're in big trouble. We've crossed this river. We're here. We've just took on Jericho. Enemies are going to hear that we've been defeated. They're not going to be afraid of us anymore." And the Lord repeats the words to Joshua. He says to him, "Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And this time, they find out about the sin. They remove the sin from that situation, and now they go to battle, and they don't go with 2,000 to 3,000 guys. The whole army goes, and it's not even a fight, right? And from that failure, God brings victory. As he continues to encourage them that I am with you. Notice that in these times when God repeats this, he always says, "Do not be discouraged." And because that's the opposite of encouragement, right? When we're not encouraged, we're discouraged. And it's easy to get there and it's easy to stay there. And sometimes that comes when we find our challenge in front of us that we're not sure we're going to be able to face, whether if that's Joshua taking over for Moses. And sometimes it comes on the heels of our failures, when we've just fallen flat on our face and we have failed. And here's the key, is that God knows that if we remain discouraged in our failures and in our challenges, that it will devastate us and keep us from moving forward with Him. And you might be there tonight. You might have a challenge in front of you that's huge. You might just be coming off a failure, a place where you fell flat on your face. And the Lord knows that if you continue to stay there, that discouragement is going to set in. And you may even get to the place where you say, I'm not doing this anymore. And so the Lord comes in that moment, and He comes tonight. And He says, have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. I know about your failure. I know that you're afraid of this moment and the challenge that you're facing. I know you don't know if you've got what it takes. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. The third comes in Joshua chapter 10, verse 25. And now another challenge comes, and Joshua's got to fight five armies. Five Amorite kings have all teamed up, and they're going to take out the nation of Israel. And the Lord again says to him, have I not commanded you? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And this time, there's no need for a second battle, because even though the odds are stacked against Joshua, he's begun to learn something. Isn't this how it works in our life, right? Doesn't mean that we don't get ambushed sometimes by life. But in our lives, the longer we walk with the Lord, the more we are able to hear and understand that God is with me. And tonight, I want you to know that God is with you. Someone is with you, and that someone is the Creator of the universe. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is always around. This is the God that is with you. You're not, the B team is not with you. The C team is not with you. The A team, God Almighty, is with you. And I hope that is encouraging for you, because this is what I want you to hear as I kind of wrap up this piece, is that those scary situations and even defeat can become the launching pad for your victory. God's not done with you. He's not surprised by the challenge that has caused you to shake in your boots a little bit, right? He's not surprised by the failure that has wrecked you. But if you will lean into Him, if you will trust that what He says He will do, He will do, that challenge, that defeat can become the launching pad for your victory. Your current challenge, your most recent failure, even your greatest failure from which you've never truly recovered, can be a place from where God is ready to encourage you if you'll trust Him. Well, last thing tonight is this. I want to encourage you with those seven things, the seven things prior, but then lastly tonight, I want to encourage you to pass it on. To pass it on. Notice in the book of Hebrews, it says, let us consider how we might spur one another on. Encouragement is not just for you, but it's also meant for the person sitting next to you and the person on the other side of the room and your spouse and your friends. And God, as He encourages you, wants you to pass it on to somebody else. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have any encouragement, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. And then check this out, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Now, don't be mistaken here. This isn't just about being nicer. This isn't just about being more positive, because you can't do that. I can't do what Philippians just encouraged me to do. This is about letting the Holy Spirit have control of your life and living through you, encouraging you in the challenges and the difficulties and in the moments when you think you're all by yourself, nobody sees you, nobody cares. And trust me, the world's going to give you plenty of those moments. Those times when you think everything is out of control. And if I hear one more breaking news thing, I'm going to lose it. But as the Lord encourages you through all those things, the beauty of the church, both when we gather like this and when we go out as the church, is that we pass it on and we encourage someone else. Going back to Hebrews in this last minute, the next verse, verse 25, we read verses 23 and 24, says, do not give up meeting together. Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I'm going to pray for you this evening. Maybe you need some encouragement. Maybe you feel forgotten. Maybe you've got a major challenge. Maybe you've got a failure that you're struggling to get on the other side of. Maybe you need to encourage someone. You are currently a front row witness to a challenge someone else is facing, and even to their own discouragement. I want you to know this evening that God loves you, and that he sees you, and he thinks about you. I want you to know that God is with you. All of those things this evening, I want you to know they're true. And then as you embrace that, pass it on to someone else. Before I pray, would you repeat these words after me tonight? I claim these truths. Amen. Father, we love you. We needed a little encouragement tonight. And Lord, you are faithful. You are so very faithful. Thank you for encouraging us, Father. And thank you, Lord, that this comes straight from your word. These are your promises. God, I pray that every person in this room tonight would leave here encouraged, whether it's a challenge they're facing or whether it's a failure they're regretting. Pass it on to the next person, Lord, because we could all use more encouragement. We love you, and we claim proclaim these truths tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.